Good deal. Okay. Well, I think it's time to start. We'll get going. See, the recording's already going, right, Christina?
Yes, it is. I'll do the roll call. Okay, so on today's Office DSSA call, we have Jörg Schweiger, Olivier Capin-Lebon, Jim Galvin, Mikey O'Connor, and from staff we have Christina Nordstrom, Julie Hedlund, and Patrick Jones, and apologies from Bart Vosvinkel.
Terrific. Okay, I've sketched out a tiny little agenda for us up there in the top of the Adobe room. So if there's anything on your minds that you want to add, that's fine. But the two things that I thought of was to take a look at the notes that I took and a draft approach to the forming subteams puzzle that we were working on last week with Wayne. And then having copious spare time, I read the three documents that were mentioned on last week's call, the two ESSAC reports and the RFC. I just wanted to show you what I produced and see how we wanted to feed that into the threats discussion on Thursday. So those are the two things. Is there anything else that people want to add to that agenda?
Yeah, this is Jörg. Hi, Mikey. I think I got a couple of things. I want to add one is not saying that we do have to discuss them this very call. What I'd like to discuss is how would we add further information to the input that has been given to us in Singapore. So we have been drawing a taxonomy, and I was wondering if I feel that there's something missing. How would we add input to this sheet? Additionally, I would like to make up whether or not we should probably come up with another topic to discuss within the group. And for me, that would be that we might want to take a look at the mitigation procedures, techniques, and tools that are currently available. So we have been discussing what threats there are around. We have been setting up criteria on how to evaluate them. And I think to really fulfill our mission, and that is to analyze whether the DNS is stable and secure, we might want to know what mitigation procedures are around and are they working out and what techniques and what tools are we currently employing.
Okay. Sound like good ones for us. Anybody else got agenda stuff that they'd like to add?
If not, so I would go on.
And keep going.
Okay. So how about setting up a doodle for a face-to-face meeting in Dakar? I know we have been talking about the issue, but I think I kind of lost it somehow. So my first point would be, is there a face-to-face meeting of the co-chairs? I know Mike, you're not going to be there. I have no clue whatsoever if the other co-chairs are going to be there and if they feel that there would be a need for a face-to-face meeting from the co-chairs. So probably we could just get some opinions whether or not we should set up something, and if so, setting up a doodle for that to do that.
So, question: a meeting of the co-chairs, is that in addition to a meeting of this group and thus separate from it?
Yes, I would feel so. But just pushing it over to you and finding out whether or not you think that might be useful or not.
Well, why don't we put it on the agenda, and we'll have a chat about that. Anything else?
And further, I would like to discuss about what we and how we're going to proceed with the results and the taxonomies, we have been coming up with. So if there going to be a, let's say, consistency check, or are we going to forward this mind map to somebody else who is producing a first part of a report for that? And could this report, for example, be or partial report, could that be a part of a presentation that we might want to give at the Senegal meeting to the respective constituencies, what I feel might be a good idea to do?
Okay. That's another good one. That'll keep us busy today for sure, and maybe into the next call.
I would still have some.
All right.
Not a lot to do on the weekend, so probably.
I'll tell you, we leave Jörg alone, and dang, he creates a lot of work for us. Wow.
So next question would be, what are we up to next? So we've been working out through the stuff of Singapore, and if I'm referring to our work plan, the next step would be analyze threats. So are we formally going to start the discussions with the group on analyzing threats? Or in other words, what will be the main issue of the main agenda point for the next conference calls of the whole group?
Okay. I've got some ideas about that.
Okay, and finally, how are we gonna start the initial groups that are about to sanitize information or to solicit information so that we can really digest or come up with a evaluation about the stability and security current state of the Internet?
You have to pardon my typing today. I cut the hell out of my middle right finger. It's got a giant Band-Aid on it. So as a result, my typing is pretty crummy.
But I can assure you that's all I got for now.
Well, okay then.
That's the good thing.
Well, if that's the best you can do, you know, we'll just have to go on.
Oh, man, this is going to keep us going. All right, so... I think some of the answers may come out in some of these earlier discussions. So let's start right in. On your screen is the little corner of the mind map that we've been building about confidential information. And the first thing that's open is my summary of what I heard Wayne say was the process that they go through at the OARC. And I'd just like to really quickly run through that with you to make sure that I've got it right. And then I've got a proposed variation of that that I'd like to quickly get us to, because that's the one I'd like to beat up and tune and make correct. But the way that I saw or heard Wayne's description is that, you know, they consciously charter and document the group. They lay out the rules of behavior. They then seed the group with a few highly trusted people who then, and then they put out the word for asking for volunteers. The volunteers then get vouched for by the ever-expanding group of people that are already in the subgroup, based on some threshold of vouches. And this essentially continues on. It goes into then sort of a monitoring phase where if people fall below a minimum number, they are then removed from the group. And that falling below a minimum could either result from the people who vouched for them leaving, and thus they have to go recruit some more vouches, or they behave badly and people withdraw their support. Is that pretty much, you know, some of you guys are in OARC. Jim, I'm pretty sure you are. Is that right? Did I miss anything dramatic in that summary of the process?
So this is Jim. I'll just comment that I can't speak to whether or not that's accurate. Phileas is a member of OARC, and I'm not the principal who participates in OARC.
Okay.
So I can't claim knowledge of the actual detailed procedures.
Oh, too bad. You could be a guy. You could just make stuff up. But
hey, you know, us security guys, though, we're just too careful for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get that. Well, I think it's close anyway. And if it's off a little, let's fix it in this part. Because what I did is I took that notion and I made one up for us that's a little bit different. Because I think that in our case, we have to acknowledge that the people who are sharing information, primarily the registries and registrars, and maybe some high-value registrants like me, I think have to have special rights in this process, because people who are sharing information need to know without a doubt that their information is safe. Otherwise, they won't participate. We won't have any information to analyze. So what I did is I ever so slightly changed the process and said, same first step, described the thing, and added our NDA into the documentation pile. And then instead of seeding the group with just trusted people, I seeded the group in this proposed approach with information providers rather than some pre-existing trusted group. And the presumption here is that then we would ask people to volunteer in a variety of roles. And I expanded that a bit to include information providers. Clearly, they're crucial. But there are other kinds of roles that could go into a subgroup. There could be experts. There could be people who are really good at analysis but don't know anything about the topic except, you know, how to do statistics or how to do decision theory or stuff like that. There are folks who can develop documents. And then there's probably a need to acknowledge that each of these subgroups needs some kind of chair or co-chair or leader or something. And each of those are acceptable and appropriate roles. And then I started a list of unacceptable roles, and the only one I could think of was people who lurk. You know, I don't think it's appropriate for people to just go to school on this. I think there are other... there's Mark. Get him in. You know, there's other ways that people can learn about security besides participating in these very sensitive subgroups. Then I reverted to the OARC process, publish a list of volunteers, and request vouchers from members. And the change to the admitting volunteers is that they get enough vouchers and all the information provider members of the subgroup have to agree that this person's acceptable. Again, this is back to giving information providers special rights because they are making a special contribution. And then finally, same process for removing folks, and perhaps the acknowledging that, again, if any information provider withdraws their support, then they fall out of the group. So I wanted to put that in front of you all for thoughts, critiques. I don't know what's going on with Adobe there. Sorry about that. Jim, go ahead.
So, thanks, Mikey. This is Jim. Just a question. In the end there where it talks about, you know, tracking when your number of vouchers falls below threshold, who gets that job?
That's kind of why I stuck a chair leader administrator type role in there. It seems to me that that's an assigned role. It could go to a chair or it could go to somebody else. But, you know, I think it's definitely something that has to be assigned to somebody.
Well, I suppose my preference would be that it somehow fall to the secretariat to manage that as opposed to a leader of a subgroup. But I'll be open-minded about it and hear what others have to say about that, including secretariat folks.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got a real strong opinion about that. We could, let's see, let's monitor, let's just add, oops, I'm watching pretty spastic typing today. Other thoughts from folks? Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Mikey. It's Olivier here. I last week when I was listening to the system of vouchers and so on, I thought it was a good system, but I was quite I just wondered whether it would work in our case. The security committee out there that composes ORC is one of people who have known each other sometimes for 5, 10, 15 years. They are able to vouch for each other. I'm not quite sure whether in our frame for the actual working group, perhaps not the chairs. I think we're starting to trust each other pretty well, and some of us know each other for a while, but the wider group itself. I'm not sure whether we will have the same kind of trust as there would be in the OR case. And then on top of that, I also think that the issue of confidential information in our case is very much so an issue of commercial confidential information, whilst the OR might actually be security information, technical information that they might not wish to disclose. And so I wonder, we have this added spice, in the meal, which is the one of commercial information that one vendor will not wish to share with another vendor. And it's entirely fair, it's internal stuff. And in such a case, the issue of vouching for someone does not even apply. It's a case of who do you wish to have in your sphere of influence, your sphere of trust, are you, how much are you ready to give out to your sphere of trust? So I hope I'm not making it even more complicated, but I was just, these are the feelings I had last week. Thank you.
Those are really good questions. Because It would be quite unfortunate to gallop down a path and then trip over these when we're actually trying to form the subgroups. So I think it's good to get these out now. And I don't know that I've got real smart answers to any of these. Let me try just to get the conversation started. But I'm being a guy, I'm making things up as I go, so don't feel like this is sort of really really good thing, but I think the new group problem can be solved one of a couple of ways. One would be to say, look, we're going to just have to acknowledge that this is a new group of people and that not everybody can be trusted enough, quickly enough, to get into subgroups, that this is purely an analysis job and that some of these subgroups could be quite small and quite limited, and that then once they've sanitized the information amongst a very small group of people who do trust each other, that they try very hard to quickly move the sanitized information out into the public view so that the broader working group can participate. And so one of the kind of norms that we could do is to try as hard as we can. I think it was Scott's group in Singapore that said, try as hard as we can to do most of our work with public information rather than private information, rather than confidential. And we could build that into the norms of the subgroups. That's sort of my first try at that. Jörg, go ahead. Oh, you may be muted, Jörg. Still not hearing you.
Got it made.
There we go.
Sorry. I think Olivier is absolutely right that there are different aspects, especially competition aspects, but I don't see that the process that Mikey has been describing isn't accounting for that special situation. Of course, if somebody is providing such kind of information, and as you said, Mikey, all within a certain group would have to voucher to accept one additional part in the group. So if a provider of a certain information that might involve something that's got to do with competition, he might just say, no, I do not want A, B, or C in that group as well. So it's perfectly catered for, I think.
Thanks, Jörg. Any other thoughts on this? I mean, what we could do is strengthen the... Essentially, what this is about is we could strengthen this so that instead of having a threshold number of vouchers, we could make admitting volunteers into the group a consensus item and say everybody has to give somebody a thumbs up. Jim, and then Olivier. Jim first.
So this is Jim. Something completely different. What if we were to turn it around and ask instead if there were any objections as opposed to looking for, you know, some threshold number of positives? Or another alternative would be a combination, you know, certain number of positives and a maximum number of objections. Just a thought for discussion.
Okay. These cryptic notes will, I hope, make sense to us next week. Olivier, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey, and I'm afraid that Jim has beaten me to it by a second. I'm going to say exactly that. What I can add, actually, to it is anonymous objections, because the, you know, when one deals with people, then it becomes a little difficult when it says XYZ has objected to you being part of that group, and it's a little...
Yeah, although I think in many cases, the kind of thing that Jörg was describing or you were describing, it's going to be, it's not going to feel too bad if I'm Rick and Mark says, Rick, I really just can't have you seeing this stuff. I mean, it's not personal. You know, the company...
But if I may add, there's also the case of, oh, I don't want XYZ to be in that group. They're a loose cannon.
Well, there is that. All right, fair enough. Okay. Wow, now we've got discussion going. This is great. Jörg, go ahead.
Yeah, just one further amendment to what Olivier has been saying before. And he said he doubts that the vouching process might work in our case. And I still feel that it would and even could, because I don't see that the persons that are being vouched in a group to take a closer look into any security problem would very much differ from the persons that are currently playing a certain role within the OAuth community. So my assumption is that people who are around and who are forced to give vouchers for each other are pretty much the same as in the OAuth contact or in the OAuth community. So I think it might even work out pretty good.
So the objection approach works for you, Jörg, or not? So it could be unanimous.
Yes, it works for me.
Yeah, I think what this winds up getting to is essentially unanimous consent by the group. Maybe it's anonymous unanimous consent. So they either, you know, everybody says yes, and if anybody says, withholds their yes, that's essentially an objection. And maybe what we do is we do anonymous. Unanimity. Oh, I can't spell unanimity.
Read out of what I put in the chat room there. I'm not inclined to agree with anonymous challenges. Just, you know, my personal opinion. If you have an opinion, you ought to be able to speak for it.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Can we take that as a friendly amendment, you anonymous advocates? Anybody really feel strongly about that? Mark's chiming in saying, agreed. Actually hear Mark typing. Hey, Mark, you could talk.
I have a radical suggestion.
Okay. I love those.
And that is that we outsource this.
Huh?
That we, this whole sort of committee that's dealing with security matters, we have someone like OARC actually take care of it, and we just have a liaison to OARC that actually can share what it can with the rest of the ICANN community.
Mm.
And the reason why I say that is there's just we're kind of duplicating already what OARC is doing. And maybe OARC's not the right place, I don't know, or the right organization, but I'm not sure if I'm questioning out loud whether or not we have two organizations doing the same thing, or two initiatives, really, through two different organizations doing the same thing.
I think one way to explore this would be, can we imagine a kind of work that we would do that OARC wouldn't? Because I love that idea. If it's a complete duplication, it would make the work of the DSSA a whole lot less complicated if we didn't have to re-engineer this giant, complicated subgroup thing.
Yeah.
Jörg, I think this group exists because our scope is broader. OARC is looking primarily at the nitty-gritty of the technical data. That's my understanding, anyway, of the
focus
that they've got. And what we're interested in is broader than that.
Yeah, I just want to point out that if everything else, or if everything could be done in a trusted way by OAuth, then probably this group wouldn't have been set up, as opposed to what Mark currently said.
I'm not sure that's true. Again, remember that the job of the subgroups is primarily sanitizing information so that it can be reviewed in public. Not necessarily arriving at policy or any of the broader mandate that we've got. I think that here's an example of something that might not fit within OARC's brief that we would be interested in, and that gets back, I think it was to York's comment, about proprietary business processes. How do people mitigate threats? How do people respond to attacks? Does OARC handle stuff like that?
To a loose degree, they have, but it's frankly, there's been some attacks, but not a tremendous a lot of attacks that have occurred that require coordination. I want to answer York on one thing, and that is one of the things that I see is the two constituencies that one answers to are different. The one in OARC is very technical in nature. The one in ICANN is more sort of the higher level sort of management types. And this is a good, to me, it seems like a good conduit going from one to the other.
That's a nice. I wish I could type. Clearly we're not going to get done with this today. I think we've moved the ball forward a lot, but I think we need to, in order to get ready for the call on Thursday, we probably need to park this one for a week and pick up this discussion again and maybe contemplate this a bit. So if it's all right with you, I'm going to move us on quickly through the rest of this agenda, and then if we have time, we can circle back to this again. But I do want us to be ready for the call on Thursday. Is that all right with folks? Anybody want to throw their body on the tracks before I move this along? Everybody's typing like crazy. Oh, good, you're all typing. Okay. All right, so let me bring out the other gizmo that I worked on. And I think this might answer some of your questions, Jorg. So think about your questions about how do we get more stuff into the mind map, because I think this is an example of that. The Singapore meeting was really an icebreaker. It was really to get people thinking and working, but I never thought of it as the definitive list of anything. It was really just a way to get the gears moving. And another point is that, at least in my mind, we're working on threats, just the descriptions of threats until Dakar. We're not actually starting to analyze them, because I don't think we're anywhere near done with the lists of threats yet. And I'm more convinced of that now that I've read those reports. So I think that in terms of what's next, I view the mind map that we're working on now on threats as a continuously evolving document that isn't finished and isn't limited just to the Singapore work. And so what I was thinking we might do on Thursday is do the same thing with these three reports that we did with consolidation of the Singapore work. Try and figure out where the threats that are identified in these reports fit in this emerging taxonomy that we've got. Move them in there. Try and find more reports like this. Do the same thing for a while, you know, and essentially continue to expand the list of threats and vulnerabilities for a while. I don't know how long a while is, but maybe a few weeks. And at some point, I think the group will say, gee whiz, we're duplicating a lot. We're not seeing anything dramatically new, and it's sort of at that point that we've got at least the list of threats pretty well done. And then I think what we need to do is circle back around and describe them well. Now, in the case of the ESSAC reports, much of our work is already done for us because those reports are very detailed. I'll show you that in a minute. But in some of the other cases, they're not. And we need to get at least a paragraph or two describing each of the threats and then start feeding that into a document production process. Julie, I was a little dismayed at the end of the call the last time where I kind of shut you down on the
Oh, Mikey, this is Julie. I don't think you shut me down.
Well, I felt like I did after I,
no, I don't
thought
think,
about it for a while.
Oh,
anyway,
we were running over as it was. So.
Yeah, you know, I think we do need to start a process where these outlines get transmogrified into reports. And so I felt like I was a little snippy. Anyway, I'm glad I didn't totally torque you off.
No, not at all, and I don't think you were snippy. And I totally agree. And that's something that we, the staff, Patrick, Guy, and Bart, will all be working on. I'll take the pen on the confidentiality piece once I gather there's just a little bit more conversation that needs to happen there on the next call, and then I can take the pen and work that into some text. And I think we'll be collaborating on taking the rest of the information related to, you know, the work that's done so far and turn it into something.
Cool. All right. Well, I would love to at least ride along on that, especially since I'm the one that's got this giant outline. There are a bunch of things I can do to make your lives a lot easier in terms of exporting this outline into Word and a bunch of things like that. So consider me part of the drafting team, too.
This is Julie, and Mikey, certainly we will work closely with you.
Cool. Okay, so let me show you what I came across. I think I'm going to do this one first. This is a little uneven in terms of detail because right in the middle of doing this project, I smashed the hell out of my finger and destroyed my ability to type. And I also had a pretty miserable 2 or 3 days. So this isn't my best work. I guess that's what I'll say. But what I did is I read all these reports. So I started with this one. And in the report, this is not all threats of the DNS. It's just looking at threats to protecting domain registration. I kind of went through and said, here are a bunch of vulnerabilities, and I wrote them down. And then they listed a series of actual attacks. And Jim and Mark and some of you guys were in this group, so feel free to chime in if I get this completely goofed up. having looked at the attacks, they came up with a list of three threats. I decided those were threats. And what I did is I kind of cheated a little bit. Some of the stuff that was revealed were actually vulnerabilities, and I dragged those up into the vulnerabilities list. So let me open that up again so that you see the two lists together. Then the ESAC went ahead and listed a couple of major categories of techniques to prevent this, which I think slides Jorg into your mitigation topic, which, by the way, I don't think we need to even think about until after Dakar, at least according to the work plan, but we can debate that too. And so when you get into mitigation, boy, oh boy, you get a whole lot of information. I mean, all of this stuff here is pretty much lifted out of the mitigation part, and the big topic there. This is a very rich report and had a lot of ideas about things to do. Remember, we're talking about protecting domain registration. And they also mentioned a series of things from previous reports that could mitigate or help prevent access to portfolios. Then, they also, in addition to preventing access to portfolios, the ESAC folks also wrote a pretty elaborate, but not as elaborate, series of thoughts about protecting the actual DNS configuration. And then they followed it up with a whole series of findings. And I, by that time, my finger was killing me, so I just cut and pasted those in. Well, that's a lot of material, and it's really good material that we don't want to lose track of, I don't think. And we certainly don't want to reinvent, because this report took a while to write, took a lot of really smart people to write it, and at a minimum, I think we need to figure out a way to incorporate this into our work. So that's sort of what I came across. I think that's it for that one. Oh, no. And they had, in addition to findings, they had a whole series of recommendations. Now, we're not so much in the recommendation business, but again, it seemed to me really good stuff. So that's the summary that I did of ESAC 40. That one could probably take a whole one-hour call with the group, just trying to figure out what to do with this and how to incorporate it into our work and kind of working people through it and so on. But there's no way that everybody can read all these reports, and I do have copious spare time because I'm a retired guy, so I'm happy to read them and do this. And if this is a useful exercise, I'm happy to continue doing it. The point that Mark just raised in the chat, which is registrars seem to ignore this, I tend to agree with. I've been on an awful lot of working groups with registrars, and there is a lot of pushback when you start introducing ideas like this, and that probably gets us into some political territory and some policy territory. And so I think this will be a lively and ongoing discussion. So let me just quickly run you through the other two that I did. ESAC 44 was aimed at me. It was aimed at a registrant. And here the report writers again laid out a threat landscape, which for me falls right in threats. So I think this is one of the ones, this chunk here is the chunk that we could staple into our threats document in the right place. they talked a bit about risk management, and they talked about mitigation. And again, there's protection against unauthorized access, and also the whole notion that if you only have one point of contact for a domain name or a portfolio, you as a registrant are running a fair amount of risk, and you might want to reconsider that. Then there was a conversation about, and at this point I started not doing as great a job of summarizing. I may circle back and do these again because I was feeling pretty rocky at this point. But they talk about managing the data and DNSSEC and so on and so forth. Again, these are all aimed at registrants. And clearly, I think that's relevant for our task, because if a registrant loses control of their domain and bad people do bad things to it, that could cause quite a substantial disruption depending on the domain name. None of mine, but, you know, Google or Network Solutions or something like that, and so on. So I think I'm going to pass through this one again because I clearly skipped the details in there. But you can sort of see where this is headed. Here again in the RFC, another great series of threats that in many cases doesn't touch the list that we've developed so far. And in each case, I think underneath each one of these, there's a description of what's going on, and I might just go back and staple that into this once my finger gets better. I decided that when they were talking about weaknesses of the DNSSEC in that RFC, that I could kind of transmogrify that into vulnerabilities. And a lot of these do tend to repeat, but not all of them. And again, so I thought that was a useful expansion of our list. So that's kind of a fast run-through of a lot of material, but I wanted to give you a sense of what laid under this without just splashing that whole mind map on the screen in front of you, because I think it would be pretty bewildering. And if it's all right with you all, what we can do is just use this as material that we use the same process on as we did for the Singapore work and try and incorporate these thoughts into our big mind map, and at the same time put out calls for any more of these, because clearly there've got to be some more, and I'm happy to summarize a few more, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to shut up now and let people react to this notion that I've come up with. Does that seem like a good way to do this? Is it too much? Is it overkill? Is it crazy? Is it going to drive people nuts?
So this is Mark again. I think all these documents are good sort of reading. I have a sort of, again, another sort of radical sort of thought.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what we can do about it, but as sort of maybe as an angle, maybe we could ask ICANN to actually catalog the security services of each registrar and registry and make that publicly available.
I think the registrars would go nuts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, that might be something that we recommend, but I'm not sure that we could get that. I mean, I think if we put that call out right now, well, I don't want to rain on. This is brainstorming. Mikey, what are you doing raining on somebody's idea? That's a bad thing. I just did a bad thing. I apologize, Mark.
No, I think that's why, you know, actually, I think I always thought this is a great business opportunity for someone, but it seems to not have happened.
Okay, so let's see. What are we going to call this? Future Action.
I'll mention it again on Thursday, just because I like to be controversial.
Good for you. Okay. I can develop catalog registry. Registrar. And I'm going to put registrant in there because they should be security services. Is that what you called it?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Services.
But if you use those words, then registrant really is out of the picture. But
well, or activities or.
That's fine. We can just let it be.
Yeah, all right. You know, given, well, yeah, that'd invoke a lively discussion for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, look at that. Olivia's giving me a hard time, so I was bad there. I was bad. I'll take a bad star on that one. Black star for Mikey. Bad Mikey. Okay. Other reactions to this little adventure that I've gone on? Does this seem like a... I think it's two things. I think one thing it is it's a piece of work to do. But it's also an example of of where we're at in the process, which is, it seems to me that one of the things in our charter is to go out and look for more information about this, both within ICANN and outside of it. And this might be the place, once we get another iteration or two of this done, where we go out to other experts and say, this is the catalog of threats that we have built so far. It'd have to get cleaned up a bit before we could do that. But the musical question to the experts is, are we missing any that we should be adding to this list? And let them chime in. Say, I wrote a report, got a bunch that you don't have, and here's a link. Yor, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I think I finally get an impression or vision of what the next call might look like. The only thing I would like to add is I wonder whether or not it's really a good idea to walk everybody through each and every line. Couldn't we ask the participants to do that as a homework in front of the call so that we are not dealing with every line but just with questions and some new input makes it more efficient within our call?
I'm going to venture out onto a limb and say that, at least in my experience on other working groups, the odds of people actually doing that, given how busy they are really, really small. And so the process of actually walking through these and placing them in our hierarchy is really the only time that people are likely to actually look at these things. Now, it may be that other people have had different experiences with that, but at least on the working groups that I've been on, the source of those late-breaking objections has been a person saying, what? How did this get in there? And people say, well, we did it on the list. And they go, well, I haven't had time to read the list, dang nabbit. And this is terrible. I can't accept this. And so then we get into that problem where people are objecting really late in the game. I don't think it's going to be that bad. You know, when we got into the groove on the last call, we dispensed with an awful lot of bullets very quickly. And I have a feeling that once people get in the groove on this one, that we'll be able to do the same thing. We may very well be able to take these little trees that I've built and take them at the root of the tree and just staple the whole branch into a place rather than one at a time. So I'd like to lobby for the one at a time approach, at least until it breaks worse than it's broken right now, because I thought we did really well on the last call. And I think part of what that does is it also educates people. It kind of brings them up to the play on what these issues are and how many of them there are and how dramatically different they are, et cetera. But, again, I'm looking for feedback here, so I don't want to defend it too harshly.
I think your arguments are valuable. Probably you're right. I just do want to speed up a little bit. Probably I'm going to step down with this opinion.
We're rocketing compared to some of the work groups I've been on. We're moving at blinding speed here. So let's give it another call or two and see if it,
okay.
You know, and see if it breaks. I'm more than willing to change the approach. And one of the things I've been really hesitant to do is any of this work in advance. I mean, when I'm doing these little charts, it's often pretty clear to me where these things go. But I've been consciously not doing that because I don't want to get ahead of the group. And if it starts to bog down, I'm perfectly happy to start dragging this stuff around on my own and then telling people what I did and letting them object to it rather than doing it with them. And I think that might be the next way to speed things up if it gets too sluggish. But I think...
Okay,
really
let us draw on your experience then. Okay, with me. Let's see what is going to be next
okay.
on our call.
Okay. It's 2 minutes to the hour. I think I've got a sense of what we're going to do on the next call. Why don't we leave that agenda in this working space of Adobe and pick it up again next week on Monday and see if we can work through some of the questions that Jorg was asking there towards the end. Does that work for folks? It's okay with Jorg. Going once, going twice. Okay. Sounds like we're done. It's 1 minute to the hour. Thanks, all. I'll see you on Thursday, and have a great week. And I'm going to go work on my typing skills. That's it for me.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Maggie. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you, gang.